Fragmented sleep. Fragmented dreams. Bill huddled against me to burrow my warmth in the chill of the night. I kept waking up to see if he was still breathing, his familiar smell of hay and tobacco now cut with desperate sweat. Metallic blood. The following morning, October 5, dawned with us lying cheek to cheek, mine warm, his cold. Bill Cavanaugh was dead. I held on to what remained of him a while longer. His corpse did not repulse me, in the limited way that circumstances had permitted. His was a body I loved. It filled me instead with inexpressible melancholy, melancholy that I have never put aside. I did not pray, so instead, I quoted Shakespeare. Alas, poor world, what treasure hast thou lost? A fragment from Venus and Adonis. It was not something Bill would have known, and that seemed fitting, given his enthusiasm for discovering new things. I moved Bill's body off my lap and stepped from the funk hole into another battlefield dawn. He was hardly the only one who had died in the night. In spite of my innate intelligence, in spite of my education, how little I understood our circumstances except that they were bad, very bad. The colossal scale of the war made it impossible to know more. It had been created by men, but by men in the aggregate, and not by the kings and kaisers and presidents whom we soldiers comforted ourselves by imagining in control of it. Even the generals could be only as the blind men judging the elephant, taking it for its parts, never comprehending the whole. The earth lay before me like a bare idea, a wasteland that we could not traverse. We had to stay put. The brook babbled as it always did at the foot of the ravine. The sound seemed like mockery now, but the mockery was in my head. Water was still only water.
Have you ever lost someone you loved with all your soul?
Of course I have. My father.
Your father? Tyrone stopped. Are you being serious?
Her knuckles whitened.
Disrespect him at your peril.
Endel Kaiferin. You loved him with all your soul.
He was my father. Of course I did.
Tyrone shook his head.
You know, when they first threw me into that dungeon, I hated him blindly, completely, and without any discrimination. I really can't convey how much my hatred consumed me. I would howl in that hole each night with my desire to tear out his throat.
Tyrone shrugged.
So after a month or two of that screaming, I fell into a shimmering level of insanity. I just paced and paced and talked to myself. I almost went mad.
Shut up. I don't care how you suffered. No, that's not true. I'm glad. I wish you had gone insane.
After a while, however, that madness receded. In the end, it was just me in that hole with time to think about Kaiferin. And I came to realize that he was exceptional.
Tyrone paused, raising an eyebrow at Ketha, but she simply glared at him.
Exceptionally violent, yes. Exceptionally cruel. Capable of hurting people in ways your mind can't encompass. But more than that, he didn't care about anything but himself. He was completely free to do what he liked, no matter the consequences. It was a force of nature.
I don't understand. What are you saying? I thought you hated him.
Oh, more than you'll ever know. But what I am saying to you is this, Ketha. You may have loved him, but he never loved you.
Shut up!
Ketha flared her fingers around the hilt of her sword and gripped it tighter.
He couldn't see you. He was incapable of doing so.
Tyrone smiled.
And the worst of it is that you know I'm telling the truth. You know, in your heart, that he never truly loved you. Perhaps that made you adore him all the more. But when you look into that dark hole in your center...
You lie!
She was heaving for breath.
You twisted, bitter, filthy...
I'm not lying. Your father was a murderer.
He shoved and she fell back, stumbling on her heels as she fought for balance.
A rapist!
She fell into a crouch, caught herself with one hand, and stood just in time to take another blow.
And he never loved a damn thing in his whole life but himself.
Where did you get this? It appeared in my refrigerator the night the biodome was sealed. But if the note hadn't warned me about the bomb, everyone in the biodome, including me, would have been killed the following day. I unfold the note and hold it up to the light. The heavy paper has a Kirkland Enterprises watermark in the middle.
Dave. That bastard.
How did he get hold of the time machine? And how did he manage to send something to this universe? I read the note.
Hudson, keep this in a safe place until Nadali shows up. And keep your damn mouth shut about it. Tomorrow morning, run tests on all the contamination sensors. Do it first thing in the morning. D.
I set the note down and pick up the wooden box.
So, what happened after you found the note?
I didn't see any harm in following the instructions, so the next morning I spent an hour running the tests. The system was new and I discovered that the sensors in the new sector hadn't been turned on. I fixed them and was getting ready to leave when the bomb exploded right outside the west end of the biodome. Blew the bloody wall to bits. 57 people died. And if I had been in my apartment, I would have been killed too.
Christ.
He rubs his face. Just wish I would have thought to hand out masks before I started running the tests.
Whoever sent that note to you didn't want you to hand out masks, Matt. He wanted to make sure you didn't die, but he couldn't risk changing anything else.
God almighty. So who sent it?
Dave Kirkland. He's David Kirk's parallel in my universe. How he managed to get all this into your fridge, I have no idea. But I'm betting it involved a time machine.